Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am Mike Salmon, alongside Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good. That music at the beginning kind of gets you grooving a little bit, isn't it?
It gets me dancing every week.
Makes me laugh every single time. You having a good week?
I'm having a fantastic week. How about you?
It's family day here at Business Radio X.
It is.
We've got a special guest.
Yeah. My middle son, Zach, is here to see the new studio. He's on his way to an event after this.
Hi, Zach.
And so he is outside staring into the glass and waving vociferously.
On his phone, just like every other kid out there, right?
Absolutely.
Good for him. All right, we've got three other folks here in the studio. Well, besides Trey and Z, of course, we've got three guests here in the studio. And joining us from Capital City Mediations is Rebecca Ratliff from New Gen Systems, Venus Desai, and Stephen Box from Stephen Box Fitness and Nutrition. So three local business leaders that we're going to introduce you to. And we're going to start with Rebecca Ratliff with Capital City Mediations. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
We're doing good. Tell us all about your company, Capital City Mediations, and what you do.
Okay, thank you. Capital City Mediations, LLC, is an alternative dispute resolution company. We specialize in mediation, arbitration, and another prong of my business is case evaluation for plaintiff and defense lawyers who would like to have an evaluation to move their case towards early settlement.
Okay, for those that may not be aware, alternative dispute mediation, what does that mean? Does that mean if Stephen and I are having just a bad day, you'll jump in the middle? How does it work? Or who do you typically work with?
Generally, my clients are lawyers, and lawyers with clients who are in dispute and want to resolve that dispute. And many times across the country, different states have different laws or methods for dispute resolution. But generally, judges like to see matters go to a mediation. Sometimes they mandate mediation or arbitration in order to resolve a dispute. So what happens normally is lawyers will come to me. I have lots of friends from my background in insurance and the legal profession. They will come to me and ask me to mediate a matter, and that can be in a variety of areas of expertise.
So it's not all divorce. You're thinking, okay, every mediation you do is divorce, but it's not all divorce then.
No, I am actually a registered mediator in domestic mediation, which is divorce, but also civil mediation, which is a variety of areas like commercial premises liability, auto, products liability. A lot of the things that you see insurance companies handle when there are business disputes or even personal disputes.
How many times is it the judge asking the lawyers, hey, you guys need to take this to a mediator? And how often is it the lawyers who say, we should just start with mediation?
It varies. Okay. I don't know if there's a percentage rule, but in Georgia, in civil matters, usually they like to see you go to mediation. So if I had to guess, I might say 75. And I'll tell you, 90% of cases that go to mediation get settled because people really don't want to be in dispute. I say all the time, if the stress in your dispute is not becoming to you, you should be coming to me. And my tagline is disputes resolved. Generally, people want to settle their disputes and move on.
And what's I guess one of the questions I had was, why aren't the lawyers... I guess there's a difference between settling out of court, which is when the lawyers can work it out.
Correct.
And then going through mediation, which is we're bringing in a third party, is basically. Did I say that right?
Well, that's actually a really good question because matters can be settled prior to filing a lawsuit. So there are pre-suit mediations, and I also do consults on those. So for plaintiff and defense lawyers, sometimes they'll call me in to sit in on a mediation so that I can kind of gauge where the case may be going to get it resolved. And that's called a private mediation. It's not in litigation yet. Litigation means there's a lawsuit.
I can only imagine as we talk with Rebecca Ratliff with Capital City Mediations here on Gwinnett Business Radio, some of the cases you've been involved in, some of the disputes you've been involved in. How does it typically work? You hear both sides, and then is this usually a drawn-out process? Is this a process that could take one day or a couple hours, or is this something that sometimes can take a while?
Depending on all of that, all of the above, depending on the subject matter of the dispute, it can take a couple of hours, it can take all day, it can take more than one day. And parties come in civil matters, normally one side is more emotional than the other because there's usually some type of damage or injury on one side. The other side, if there's an insurance company involved, it's non-emotional because it's a business decision. And of course, in domestic matters, both sides would be emotional. So those are more messy.
So you're mediating a case or whatever the case may be, and you come to, this should be the resolution right here. Is there a legal mandatory that they have to follow what you say, or they can disagree and still take it on to court?
Let me tell you, that's an excellent question. And the reason is, in mediation, I facilitate managing the options so that the parties can come to a resolution on their own. I'm just a facilitator as a mediator. I do also have registration in arbitration here in Georgia. And as an arbitrator, I have the authority of a magistrate judge. So I actually make the decision in an arbitration that they have to abide by.
So you answered a question I was going to ask, is what's the difference between mediation mm-hmm. and arbitration? So in mediation, your job is to go, here are your options, you guys, to see if you can come to an agreement.
Yes.
Here's what I see. Here's my advice. Here's my wisdom. In an arbitration, like you said, you are, I won't say the equivalent of a judge, but you are right. Able to act and say, here's what's going to happen.
Yes, I can subpoena parties. I can subpoena documents as an arbitrator. As a mediator, I'm going back and forth between rooms, and I'm giving information that the other party has given me. And I have the ability to share everything unless they tell me it's confidential. And that, in which case, I manage the information that I know, but I don't share it.
And you said a lot of times it'll come from the judge, but sometimes it comes from the attorneys. As you are growing your business, is it almost exclusively you're trying to get to know attorneys, or are there any other types of business professionals that you are looking to, hey, I'd make a great connection with this type of business?
Thanks for asking that. Attorneys, generally, I belong to some legal organizations, and I'm not an attorney, but as a mediator, I can be an affiliate member. And so I am an affiliate member of several legal organizations: American Bar Association, National Bar Association, the Gate City Bar Association right here in Atlanta, the Georgia Association of Black Women Attorneys. And I interact with them regularly. But also, another good business connection for me is people in corporations, because some corporations do have panel mediators, but some of them contract mediation, and also the government. So I'm actually looking for some opportunities in government and corporations.
So, and just to kind of clarify that, I think a lot of times people think, oh yeah, the corporations, they have all the lawyers that work for them. Mm-hmm. Having a mediator kind of on contract or at their ability to call, mm-hmm. so that it, and that goes back to the pre-mediation. So even
yes.
before it becomes, we can kind of, before it becomes a lawsuit, we can deal with it.
Yes. And that's less, it's less stress, it's less money. And I always say in the beginning of a mediation, in my opening statement, that mediation works because it's non-confrontational, and matters that are mediated from that mediation hearing, the information can't be shared in subsequent hearings. So I can't tell the judge what happened. Any party can terminate it. There are really, in a mediation, people are taking advantage of an opportunity to resolve their own dispute with less money and less stress and less time.
Rebecca, you mentioned in passing early in the interview, and I'm not sure if our listeners caught it, but you mentioned in your previous life, you worked in insurance.
Yes.
How did you get from that to what you're doing today as far as a mediator, and what makes a good mediator?
Okay. Well, great. Great questions. I spent 25 years as a high severity insurance adjuster, and I worked for top carriers. I negotiated cases out of court across the country and globally. So I have, fortunately, a lot of experience in dispute resolution.
So you weren't a door-to-door insurance salesman.
That's correct.
You kind of were doing this anyway.
That's right. And I wasn't shuffling health insurance papers. I was a casualty adjuster for many years, most recently with Chubb Insurance, which is the Tiffany of insurance carriers. People either know the name Chubb or they don't, and it's because of their elite status in the insurance industry as a carrier. So I'm very proud of that. But 25 years in the industry as an adjuster equipped me for what I'm doing now.
And I was gonna ask kind of Mike's question, because you said you're not an attorney,
mm-hmm.
and that was an assumption I made. Oh,
okay.
Mediator, arbitrator, you must have been an attorney. Mm-hmm. So is it because of the background in the insurance that's what led to the ability? And then let me ask, Are there certifications that you have to get to be an arbitrator and a mediator?
Yes. I trained actually right here at Henning Mediation in Atlanta to get registration, well, certification, and then you register with the state. And there are people who go through the training, but they don't register with the state. But of course, I want to maximize on all of my opportunities. And I actually have a national practice. I have some international work as well because of the connections, that the partnerships and relationships I was able to build over the years. As an adjuster for that many years, I developed skill sets. And some of those skill sets, of course, were negotiation in, you know, in mediation specifically, and also case evaluation. So I rolled that into a career when I decided I wanted to do something different. And the next logical step was mediation.
25 years in insurance before you did this. Amazing that you started at the age of 10.
Exactly. I was going to say, I know. I don't. I know.
Industry, that is just fantastic. That itself is fantastic.
Thank you, Stefan. Thank you.
How long have you been doing mediation, I guess, was the other question.
I would say I've been doing mediation for the whole 25 years.
You're right.
My firm is a year old, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic.
Yes.
And I'm going to give you a chance to kind of hammer home this point again, but what is one of the biggest motivators for people to hire someone like you and use a mediator?
Okay, thank you. And I think you asked that question, and then Stefan and I went off on a tangent with something else. But thank you for coming back to that, because actually I couldn't remember what the question was.
Well, I
jumped in. I'm just making mistakes all over the place.
No, I was actually glad because I couldn't remember the question. I knew it was two-pronged.
Okay, I'll take that.
Okay, so back to that one. The motivation really is people who want to resolve their dispute with less money, less time, and less stress. That really is the motivation. And it's non-threatening because it's confidential. The environment of mediation is confidential, and it's facilitative in most cases. And so you have, the mediator is the neutral. And I say in an opening statement that I'm not here to give legal or financial advice. That's what your lawyer is here for. But your lawyer has done this many times and has tried many cases and knows there's never a way to know what will sway a jury.
Right. But sometimes you have to be that neutral,
always, calm,
steady voice. Has it ever been hard for you sometimes? Go, oh, my God, I can't believe this person did that.
Yes.
But I've got to, I've got to be a good mediator.
You know, don't bring up the time she worked with you in the last year. I mean, why'd you have to go there?
I can't discuss it. It's confidential.
Well, there was a sandwich in the refrigerator that Mike and I, he clearly said it was his sandwich and I ate. Anyway, go ahead.
And I knew one of you was lying, by the way. So, yes, the great sandwich caper. But now, people generally do want to resolve their disputes, and I think I forgot what you asked me.
Well, he was asking in the last year that you've been doing this and you can go back to your past as well, but mm-hmm. any chance where you're like, oh my goodness, can't believe I'm dealing with this person?
Yes, many times. Because of the emotional component of mediation, the mediation environment. Sometimes you have to bring it down. And I'll tell you, I speak fluent Spanish, and there have been situations where sometimes because of a language barrier or cultural barrier, sometimes you just have to be the temperature control in the room. And because, well, I have a psychology degree, so that also helps. And I think sometimes this is my psychology degree coming into play. Thank goodness for all these skill sets rolled into, what I need, culminating into what I need right now for this. But there are many times when you kind of think to yourself with a straight face, I can't even believe they said that or did that. But I have to remain neutral. And you just manage the information that they give you as the mediator. That's what you do. That's my job. I'm there to crunch the numbers and help them come. And I never say to people, help you meet in the middle. Someone always feels, the plaintiff side always feels like they didn't get enough, and the defense side always feels like they paid too much. That's my definition of a good settlement. Because nobody's happy when they leave, but it's resolved.
When both sides are not happy, you've done your job.
That's exactly right. It's as strange as that sounds, because you're going to feel a little funny, and that's why, and then you get a settlement agreement.
I've heard something similar to that, that if one side feels like they won,
yes,
that's not what you want.
A good resolution. That's exactly right.
The other thing is, you said, I think when both sides leave dissatisfied to some extent, then that also, the next time something like this comes around, they're like, well, we don't want to take it as far down the road as we took it the last time because we weren't really happy with the results.
Right.
What can we do? Like, I love the line of less stress, less money, that kind of stuff. So
yes.
just come to resolution.
Yes, come to resolution. People, it really is in the best interest. One of my clients, one of my big clients, celebrity lawyer Willie Gary, says it's in the best interest of everyone to settle a matter. And a good case is a settled case, no matter who you are.
Look at her throwing around names now. All right, Rebecca, for those that would like to find out more about your services, where can they get that information?
They can call me at 770-282-7750, or they can check my website, which is www.ccmediations.net.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
All right. We've got a sponsor read we've got to do now, and I don't want to do it. Well, actually, I want to do it. Steven wants to do it, so we've been arguing who should do it. Help us with this. Just pick him.
I'm going to pick Steve.
Yeah.
Wow, she is good.
And I have the paper in front of me, so I'll be happy to tell you. Mike, before you get to our next guest, just remind everybody that they are listening to this show inside the beautiful Subaru of Gwinnett Studios, because love is what makes a Subaru. And our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. They can visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join the family today. They can also come in and see the difference. And maybe they're already a Subaruist, like Mike. Then they can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. So you get the car, and I get to read the
There you go. That's fair. Good job, Rebecca. Also want to do a shout-out to Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, which is the location of our new studio here, our Subaru of Gwinnett studio. A ribbon-cutting ceremony the other day. Well-attended by a lot of folks from the Gwinnett Chamber and local business leaders. And the Sonesta folks are just incredible, awesome people. We appreciate their partnership.
So we got to resolve. I did the Subaru of Gwinnett. You did Sonesta. We're well resolved. Let's get on to the next guest.
All right. Our next guest from New Gen Systems, Venus Desai. Venus is the co-founder of the company. And Venus, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
All right. New Gen Systems. Now, let's see. Capital City Mediations. We can kind of figure that out. And we got Steven coming up with box with fitness and nutrition. We can kind of figure out what Steven does. But New Gen Systems, you're going to have to tell us what you guys do.
Yeah. So we actually make lithium-ion batteries primarily for manufacturing and warehouse customers who use automated guided vehicles or pallet jacks or forklifts inside their factories. Those batteries are 100-year-old technology. We've moved on to, you know, lithium-ion batteries for our cell phones, our laptops, power tools. Cars are moving that way. And businesses are still kind of 100 years behind. So we're helping them get into the next century.
So I'm assuming your batteries are more dependable, last a little longer?
Yeah, so lead acid batteries, I mean, they cannot be charged very quickly. They're very inefficient. As a result, they end up being much bigger than they need to be. And the life on the batteries is pretty low. As compared to lithium-ion, we can be 8 times smaller, about 2.5 times longer in life, and 100% efficiency as opposed to 75%.
I think a typical business owner who is doing manufacturing and using the old technology, the very first question out of their mouth, you've talked about how much longer and more efficient. Is there a way you can talk about the bottom line? If I invest in this new technology, how quickly am I going to see a return on my investment?
Yeah. So, we usually deal with the equipment manufacturers directly. But as far as the end customer, typically, so depending on their use case, they could actually see, for the same price, get a much better technology. Or in some cases, they would see, a payback in less than 2 years.
So, and the main thing you're using is inside warehouses, right? And you kind of talked about some of the vehicles and forklifts and things like that. Are there other applications that you guys are exploring that are using the old lead acid based technology that need to move more into the lithium ion that you guys are doing?
Yeah. So, any industry that's using lead acid battery is going to get changed to lithium ion over the next few years, right? I mean, you look at golf carts, you look at power backup batteries. And so that trend is ongoing. I mean, everything on cell phones is lithium ion today. Everything on laptops is lithium ion today. And we think that that trend is on its way in these particular equipment.
And I have one other real ignorant question. So this is, I do at least want to show.
This is Steven's forte. This will be good.
This is my specialty. This is my niche.
All right. So
let's take the golf cart as an example. When it comes to replacing from lead acid, lead lead acid to lithium ion, do they need to remake the whole cart, or is it a matter of just tweaking an existing style of cart that they're making?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? Because when we first started, our initial objective is to design a battery that's a direct replacement for your existing lead acid battery. That way we can actually apply it to any existing products that are out there. As a secondary offering, what we're talking to our customers is you're not limited by the existing design. So you can actually convert to, you know, whatever custom form you want for your batteries. And that's, you know, the next step in the evolution, if you will.
All right, Venus, let's, and we're talking with Venus Desai with New Gen Systems. Let's talk about you and your company, New Gen Systems, still a fairly new company. You said before the show you've been around for 2.5 years, at least New Gen System has been, because you look a little older than 2.5 years old.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But New Gen Systems is 2.5 years old. So talk about why you decided to start this company. Obviously, you saw a need or an area that you could help in. Congratulations. You recently were an amazing entrepreneur winner. So congratulations on that. Talk about the startup of your company and where you are today and how big you've become.
Yeah, so we started, like you said, a couple of years ago. One of my co-founders actually got contacted as a consultant to kind of look into this particular problem that one of the existing customers was having. Both he and I and a couple of the other team members, we all used to work at Motorola and were actually part of a team that first introduced lithium-ion batteries and cell phones. And so we'd actually done this with existing technology, with existing, in the industry. And when he got contacted, we realized that, wow, we're quite surprised that businesses were still using older technology.
So you saw there's a business opportunity here.
Right. And we knew how to do it. We knew people who were in the industry who could, you know, bring in their domain expertise. And so we kind of went about assembling the team to go after the opportunity.
So I asked, I tried to ask what I thought was an ignorant question. You said it was a great question. So now I really am challenged to find that ignorant question that I need to ask you. So you got into this because there was opportunity. You started, you kind of said in the cell phone, and then you were saying how many different types of old batteries are out there. How big is this market? How big is the opportunity? And maybe you shouldn't answer that because then other people will get into the industry. But I don't think you're giving away any secrets. I mean, how big is this? How many batteries need to be replaced?
Yeah, I mean it's an extremely big market. So I mean, if you look at the car industry today, it's a $25 billion industry for lithium ion batteries. The other industries that we talked about, the golf carts, the material handling equipment, which is a pallet jack, and combined is anywhere around 10 to 15 billion, of which, you know, the market that we're going after is about a 2 billion market.
You talked about how the lithium ion has a longer life. Pick the industry you want to talk about and give listeners an idea of, you know, like if it was put in a golf cart, how long, you know, how, what's the standard life of a lithium ion battery in certain scenarios?
Yeah, that's again a good question.
Oh yeah, all right.
Yeah, I have faith in Stephen. He will find that ignorant question at some point.
It might have to wait for the Stephen Box Fitness part, but go ahead.
Let's take a golf cart for an example, right? So if you have a lead acid battery in it, and if you use it correctly, the way you're supposed to use it, which is not discharge it all the way down, charge it correctly, you'll get somewhere around 18 months to 24 months
Before you have to replace it.
Right.
Okay.
What usually happens is many businesses or owners don't use it correctly. And when you don't use it correctly, you can get less than 6 months, maybe a year out of it.
Wow.
Right. So that's one problem. Whereas with the lithium ion, everything can be controlled in how you use it. And so most of the time you use it correctly and it can give you anywhere from, say, about 5 years or more out of it. So extremely.
Well, just the name lead acid sounds bad. I don't want that in my home or in my business. Can you talk about some of your customers and their, you know, who you work with? And I don't know if you want to be specific or just say these are the industries, but whatever you want to share.
Yeah, so our initial focus has been dealing with primarily customers who are designing what we call automated guided vehicles for factories and warehouses, right? And these guys have seen a need much more so than the pallet jack or the forklift markets. And so that's kind of where our initial focus is.
And are they seeing the need because you sought them out and educated them, or they just knew and they were able to find you?
Well, it's a couple of things. One, I think it's kind of a newer technology, and they kind of see that, they're trying to make it as small as possible and see that lithium ion can actually help them do that.
Okay.
And so that's one of the reasons. Two, I think the way they use those equipment, it's a little different than a pallet jack or a forklift, which usually gets charged at the end of a shift and usually has a battery that kind of lasts about this shift. Whereas many of the other customers are using it for a short duration of time and then zapping it with a lot of charge to kind of compensate whatever got used up. And that's where lithium ion can add a lot of value to them. So that's kind of the initial industry that we're talking to. I mean, we've talked to a whole bunch of customers, most of them in the Midwest and Michigan area, and are actively doing testing and, approval process with many of them.
Yeah, we're speaking with Venus Desai, who is CFO of NewGen Systems, talking about lithium ion batteries. And you got ahead of my question. I was going to ask, obviously you're located here in Gwinnett. You were an amazing entrepreneur winner through the Gwinnett Chamber. You talked about being here in other parts of the United States. Are you guys finding opportunities for this even outside the United States?
We haven't really looked outside of the U.S. I mean, we're looking at it.
There's a big enough market here.
It's a huge market here. And
crawling before they walk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
much easier to work with customers here as opposed to outside.
So there was the ignorant question.
It took me four questions, but I knew got there. Get it. There's my ignorant question. Thank you, Venus, for answering my ignorant question in such a good way.
And let me ask you this. Where are you in the stage of your business? You're still fairly new, 2.5 years old. Are you still looking to grow as far as investors? Are you happy with who you have on board right now? Where are you in the process of building the business?
Yeah, so we've been in existence only 2 years. Over the last 2 years, we've had a lot of conversations with customers. We've defined our product. We've finished designing it. We've got investors who are, again, Gwinnett-based investors, along with some partners who are our manufacturing partners who've already put in some money, and we're getting ready to be in production around Q1, end of Q1 next year.
Okay.
As far as, after that, we're going to obviously, look at expanding our customer base, our sales and manufacturing processes. And so we'd probably be looking for more investment dollars as we get closer to that time frame.
Well, congratulations, Venus, on the amazing entrepreneur, winning that thing through the Gwinnett Chamber. Continued success. Remember us, guys, when you hit the big time and you're already getting there, come back and see us and give us an update. Let us know how things are going.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Venus Desai with NewGen Systems. For those that would like to really look into more about your company, I'm assuming you have a great website. Share that, and any other information you want to share, contact information if you'd like as well.
Sure. I think the best way to contact us is through a contact form on our website. It's www.newgensystems.com. NewGenSystems.com.
Great. Venus, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, now that I got my ignorant question out of the way, now I can focus on the other important thing that I do, and that's read about one of our show sponsors here, and that's Ferratech. Mike, you talked about the ribbon cutting that the chamber did for us on Tuesday. Of course, we had representatives of Ferratech, Maria and others who were here to congratulate us, and we love the relationship we have with them. We thank them for being a sponsor of this show, and Ferratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies. They offer outstanding customer service. Ferratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Ferratech products, so you know that they stand behind their quality. For more info, all of our listeners can visit Ferratech.com. That's Ferratech.com.
All right, Ferratech, first-class company, first-class folks. All right, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. The name of the company is Stephen Box Fitness and Nutrition. So we're going to introduce you to Stephen Box.
Wow.
Yes. It's a good thing because, was the company already named Stephen Box and you renamed yourself, or did you name the company after yourself, Stephen?
I'm going to have to go and just give credit to my mom for the name.
Your mom actually, that's a good
named the company. That's
actually a fun, great answer.
That is
your mom actually named the company. Stephen Box Fitness and Nutrition. You've got a great story, Stephen. So we'll kind of let you start wherever you want. Talk about your background and the reason for your, how long have you had the company?
I've actually been training for 6 years now.
Okay. So tell us your story. We'd love to hear it.
So probably like a lot of your listeners, had a childhood where I was kind of up and down in weight.
And maybe some of your hosts here as well, but we won't go there.
You know, Mike, you should think more highly of yourself. Yes. It's okay.
I was talking about myself. Okay, I wasn't looking at you.
You interrupted Steven.
You know, I went high school, very active, played sports, managed to stay in pretty good shape. Then college, get into the work field, metabolism starts to drop, mid-20s, weight starts coming on. Fast forward 13 years later, after, 13 years of retail management, eating fast food multiple times a day, sometimes 5-6 days a week, all of a sudden I look up, I'm 245 pounds, I'm 40% body fat, and I was pre-diabetic. Obviously not very happy with my body or my life or pretty much anything else at that point. Started looking for some solutions. Actually hired a personal trainer myself and went through 6 of them to be exact. Some of them just quit because the gyms they worked at didn't pay very well. Some of them just weren't very good and I asked for different trainers. And some of them, I don't know what happened to. They just fell off the face of the earth one day. So really a good mix of good and bad experience with that. Really learned a lot from it. But I came across one trainer who really talked to me about what we're doing, why we're doing, explaining the exercises. Started kind of develop a passion for it. At the same time, I was getting a little tired of the retail management. And the one thing I really enjoyed about my career in retail was I was doing a lot of training at the time. And I enjoyed training people and making them better. So all of a sudden, the light bulb kind of went off. And I said, newfound passion for fitness. I'm losing weight. And I like training people. I think there's a career that actually fits that. And so I went on to actually get my certification as a trainer. Went on to actually lose 80 pounds total and drop over 20% body fat. And over the last few years, I've really had the opportunity to work under a lot of really great mentors, including a former Mr. USA bodybuilder. So that, was a great experience. I worked with him for about 2 years. And I kind of ventured out on my own about 3 years ago. And so in that time period, I've really kind of started to hone in on who I wanted to work with, who my target market was, the people that I related the best to. And what I started to find was a lot of these busy office professionals or executives or business owners, they're so busy and they're so successful in most areas of their life, but their health is that one area that they really just struggle with. And the biggest excuse is, I don't have the time to work out. Because when you look out there at our industry, there's so much stuff that talks about this all or nothing approach. You know, you're all in or you're not in at all. And I think that's garbage. You know, when I started losing my weight, one of the main things that I said was, I'm not going to cut out all the food that I like to eat. I'm not going to stop eating hamburgers and pizzas and things like that. I'm going to find healthier ways to make them and I'll do them less frequently. But I'm not just going to cut this stuff out because you still got to live life. And that's really helped to shape my philosophy as I've gone forward here. As I teach people how to fit these things into their life without isolating all their friends and making them the outcast that gets laughed at the Christmas table this holiday season.
Well, you got quite the market there with business owners because so many business entrepreneurs and so forth, and I'm sure a lot of us here at the table could probably vouch for this, is you put so much time and effort into that, you just don't have time for the other things. But you're saying there's a way to fit it in and make it work without having to change your whole lifestyle. Do you actually have a brick and mortar location or do you go out to people's homes?
I actually have a combination of services. I do a train out of a private studio in Suwannee. It's right off of Peachtree Industrial Boulevard. It's called Benefit Personal Training. And I basically rent space out of that studio. So it's not my studio, but it's a really great private studio. And I like that because when clients come in, they're not having to worry about working out in front of a gym full of people or not having to fight for machines. I have access to everything and I can do what I need to do with my client in that private setting. And that time is reserved just for them. I also do online training, and for some of my clients, I actually do a combination of the two because they're traveling. So they'll maybe work with me a couple days out of the week, and then we'll do online stuff.
Online training. I've never heard of that. How does that work?
It's really not that different.
You're just yelling at them through the computer, saying, give me another push-up.
No, it's, you know, it's funny because most of what we look at, I mean, if you look out on the internet right now, you can find a workout plan. You can find a diet plan. Now, they're not customized to you. They're just kind of random plans. But you can find things that you can go do, and it doesn't cost you anything at all. But what you're really paying a coach for is to, A, motivate you, and B, to actually keep you on track so that that way you actually know what you're supposed to do. Because I can sit here and literally fill this entire table with paperwork on nutrition guidelines and fitness and all these different things. But it's a lot easier if I just tell you what you need to do now.
Right. I'm not going to read any of that stuff.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I mean, we just got through talking about it, and I'm a small business owner myself who wears many hats in my business. And so I understand what my clients go through because I go through it myself. We don't have time for all that. We barely have time to learn about our own businesses half the time, right?
Right. So if your main market is people who don't necessarily have a lot of time, especially those executives and business owners, and you're wanting to customize and personalize, so I thought this would be a good question. So if I call you and I want to start, what does it look like to start with you? Because I think if I don't have a ton of time, what I don't have time to do is take hours to sit and develop a customized plan. So how does someone start with you?
So the first thing we do is I hop on the phone with people and do like a quick 15-minute consultation. And all I'm really trying to find out is where are they at, what have they done, and where do they want to go? And from there, I can make recommendations to them. So if I've got somebody that says, you know, I can come and train with you in Suwannee a couple of days a week, you know, maybe we could do in-person training for them. If I got somebody that says, I travel 3 weeks out of the month, well, they may be coming and training with me one day that month, but they need a workout plan. So maybe I develop a workout plan for them. That one visit they do, we'll go through that workout plan. Then they do it on their own. The rest of the month is checking in with them, sending them little homework assignments, little things that are only going to take 5 or 10 minutes out of their day. And a lot of times they can even listen to these things, you know, as a podcast. I might send my audio recordings just like they listen to it on the go. So I really customize it to that individual and find a way to make it fit, you know, even if it means that they just have to listen to it while they take a shower, you know.
Is it just around exercises? Are there also help with fitness, or is there also help with nutrition as well?
I actually have specifically a nutrition coaching program that was invented by a company called Precision Nutrition, which is who I have my nutrition certification through. Over the last 10 years, 45,000 people have gone through this program and lost over 900,000 combined pounds. I think it works.
By the way, the name of the company is Stephen Box Fitness and Nutrition, Stephen. So it's right there in the name. You asked if he does nutrition.
Yes,
too.
It's in the name of the company. I was expanding the interview, Mike.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time. Oh, God. Rebecca, you're going to have to mediate between Stephen and myself.
Took my sandwich. Oh, wait, I took his sandwich. Sorry, get back to the interview.
You seem like a nice guy, Stephen.
Well, thank you.
Okay, sorry. But I'm assuming that if you need to get in my face and get me motivated, because I've had trainers in the past, that's what I need. And I'm sure that you have clients like that. You can get in my face and tell me, Salmon, get your butt over here and do it. Or just a nice guy all the time.
You have to be a chameleon somewhat when you're training people because everyone's personality is different. You can't yell at everybody. Some people need that pat on the back. Some people do need the drill instructor and they need somebody to yell at them and tell them to suck it up and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm really versatile when it comes to that. You know, you guys were arguing about who ate the sandwich and all I'm thinking the whole time is, what did you put on the sandwich, you know?
Well, listen. Look at me and look at Steve, and you decide who ate the sandwich. Okay.
I thought, and it's funny. You nailed it. I think a good coach knows what each player needs to be motivated, and also I was going back to Rebecca's interview. She talked about psychology. It comes back to psychology. I mean, you got to be a good psychologist too.
Yeah.
And your past as in retail management, you're coaching the people you're working with, you're coaching the sales reps and stuff. So if you were good in retail management, I can see how that works over into this process as well. So let me ask you the question. We a lot of times these interviews are timeless and people can listen to this anytime. Specifically right now, we're getting close to New Year's resolution time. That, you know, losing weight is the number one New Year's resolution given every year. And not everybody signs up with that nutrition program to get the 900,000 pounds. Because it's also probably the one that fails the most often by February 1st. What advice would you give people who are saying, I want to do something other than calling you, because that's the number one piece of advice, and start working with you. But what would you tell people to see some success in that area?
Well, you know, the nutrition coaching program that I offer, the really unique thing about it is it's not a diet plan. It's not eat this or eat that. It's really a habit-based program. So we do talk about, you know, what kind of proteins you should eat, what kind of carbs you should eat. We talk about portion sizes and all that kind of stuff. But most of it is really about getting you to develop those habits. So that if I were going to give someone one single piece of advice, it's don't try to go all in and do everything on day one. You know, you really have to look at this as a long play thing. You know, we get so caught up in today's world with speed, and I want to lose 10 pounds this week, and if I only lose 7, I'm disappointed, even though it's like 3 times more than I should have lost. And so I'm really just trying to help people to understand that, yes, you can get some upfront results, but we really want to focus on that long term. We want to make it slow, and we want to focus actually more on the behaviors and activities that we're doing more so than what the results are. So I don't really care if you lost 10 pounds. If you went to the gym 4 days this week and your goal is to go to 4 days this week, that's awesome. You did what you're supposed to do. If you only had time to go 2 days and you went 2 days, awesome. You did what you're supposed to do. So that's really where I try to get people to focus.
And creating habits.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people focus on just what's the weight. And you're talking about what's the lifestyle. What are the behaviors? What are you doing and why are you doing it?
Yeah, because if you're doing the right things and you do them consistently enough over a long period of time, you're going to lose weight, you're going to get in shape, and you're going to be happy. And a lot of the things that we do to get quick results, you know, there's a statistic out there that over 60% of people who lose weight put it back on within 2 years. Most of them actually gain additional weight. Clearly, that method does not work for most people.
Change the lifestyle again. Your clients, your typical client can be anything. It doesn't have to be the person that's got to lose 100 pounds or something, and they're at that point in their life where something's got to change. Can it be also the person that just needs to lose 5-10 pounds, or I just want to stay in shape?
Yeah, I even have a couple of clients who they're not trying to lose weight at all. They actually want to gain muscle. So it's not necessarily about whether they want to lose weight or not. That just happens to be what 90% of people want. But occasionally you do have that person that they do just want to be healthy. They want to add muscle. And so for those people, it's the same thing. You're just instilling habits. The habits might be a little different, or you might apply them a little differently, but it's the same concept.
I want to kind of give a little shout out to you, Stephen, in this regard. And that on the back of your business card, you have your story there. You have the before and after photo. So you share your story. I think that resonates with a lot of people that might be looking for a trainer, because you've been there. You've done that. You were in their shoes.
Yeah. That's actually a client of mine.
You should have read the card. Put your glasses on,
Mike. Put my glasses back on.
But
I thought that was you, because you told your story of losing all that weight.
But on my website, I actually do have my before and after.
Okay, because I've seen your website.
I was actually bigger than him. So
okay.
My picture is even more impressive.
Okay.
Well, and I think if people read the back.
Or less impressive, I guess the case may be.
On the back of the card, it talks about this client of yours who said, you know, this guy got me, this guy helped me. And that was your story too.
Yep.
You said you went through multiple personal trainers until you found. So I guess another piece of advice would be don't give up just because if you're working with a trainer, don't give up on the first one. It's like any good relationship, and it really is a relationship. You got to find the person that motivates you and helps you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of business owners are listening right now, and most of us business owners, we've hired a coach or we've hired someone to help us with our business. And more than likely, we've also all ran into somebody who didn't help us at all. We didn't just go, well, time to shut down the business and close up the doors here. No, you go find another coach. You go find somebody else to help you. So, same concept.
Different people fit with you. You will fit with a lot of business owners. And the ones you don't fit with, I know you would encourage them, find the one that you will fit with to reach your goals.
Absolutely.
But most of them will fit with you.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Stephen, for those that would like to find out more about your services, where can they get the information?
They can go to my website, which is www.trainwithbox.com. That's T-R-A-I-N with box, just B-O-X.com.
And how many people look at the name of your company and think, oh, it's kickboxing or boxing's involved?
You know, I get a couple, but it's not as many as you would think, actually.
I thought people were going to think that, I don't know if I want to jump on boxes and lift boxes. What's all this box stuff?
I've had a few people, because the whole CrossFit thing, they call their gyms boxes. I've had a few people ask if I do CrossFit.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Steven, continued success. Congratulations on your past history, and hopefully things will continue to grow and go in the right direction for you.
Thank you.
All right. Steven Box with Steven Box Fitness and Nutrition here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Any parting words before we say our goodbyes, Steven?
No.
Okay. In that case, I want to remind everybody that you can listen to this show or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio shows anytime, 24/7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. All those good social media platforms. You do want to say something, don't you? I knew you had to. That's just not like you.
I was just setting it up. I was just going to say, Mike, thanks for a great 2016. Looking forward to an even greater 2017.
It will be. It will be. All right. For Steven, Julian, and Z, and Trey, and the rest of the crew, I'm Mike Salmond. Steven ate the sandwich, and this is Gwinnett Business Radio X.